It's Life and Taxes here on the Talk Station FM 107.1. And joining us today, we have Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. And as we begin the program, let me just remind you, as you hear the conversation, don't hesitate to think about giving him a call or any of the staff there at Harvell and Collins. The number, 252 area code, 726-9050. That's 726-9050. Or reach him directly via their Facebook or email at HarvellandCollins.com, Harvell and, spell out the word and, HarvellandCollins.com. And with that, good afternoon to you, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Lockwood.
And so what's on tap today?
Well, Lockwood, we've had a couple of our clients call or email in relative to a revenue ruling that was released by the IRS. And so let me just tell you what a revenue ruling is. So we have, as everyone knows, we have the Internal Revenue Code, and that is actually promulgated statute. It's Chapter 26 in the U.S. Code, and that is the Internal Revenue Code. And after the code, you have regulations, and then the regulations interpret the code.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also have revenue rulings and revenue procedures, and these are actually issued by the Internal Revenue Service. They are not regulations. But Lockwood, revenue rulings basically tell you how the IRS will view certain situations. So it gives you very distinct guidance. And while it's not law and while it's not regulation, it is illustrative of what the IRS will do in situations. And then we have revenue procedures that basically provide if you follow this set of rules, then you're in what's called a safe harbor. And therefore, the IRS is not going to challenge what's being set forth, in the matter. So, revenue rulings are very, very important. And revenue ruling 2023-2 was released, and this is what got our client's attention. And what the revenue ruling said, Lockwood, is that, for lack of a better word, gifts to irrevocable trusts are not going to be able to receive a step up in tax basis. All right.
Whoa.
And this got, obviously this got our clients' antennas up for very good reason, because they're like, wait a minute, I did a trust with Harvell and Collins. What does this revenue ruling mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of to jump to the end. The good news is it's a very narrow holding. It's a very narrow situation that this applies to. But it is important to know what situation it applies to. And we also need to inform our listeners what we talk about, what step-up basis means.
Right.
And so those are the critical things. So how do we get into this situation where we have a revenue ruling that says we're not going to allow step-up basis? And what impact does that have? And the quick answer, Lockwood, is we have to go back to carryover basis and step-up basis and how those rules apply. It's very simple. During my lifetime, Lockwood, if I give you an asset that is appreciated, then you take my basis in that asset. And the easy example that we talk about, which is carryover basis, and the easy example that we always go to is I buy a stock for $1. It's now worth $100. And I give that stock to Lockwood.
Mm-hmm.
And Lockwood turns around and sells that stock. Lockwood got my basis, which was $1, he sold it for $100, his gain is $99.
Right.
And he will pay tax on that gain.
Right.
Why? Carryover basis. That is what happens when you gift assets to an individual during life. You receive their basis. Step-up okay. basis is completely different, because step-up basis, Lockwood, is what you get when you have an individual leaving assets at their death. Mm-hmm. To their heirs or beneficiaries. So we flip the script a little bit. Unfortunately, I bought a stock for $1. It's worth $100, just like you talked about. Unfortunately, I die. And I have left a will, and I leave all my estate to Lockwood. And Lockwood receives that stock through my estate or through a trust, potentially. And that stock gets over to Lockwood, and then he turns around and sells it the next day. And his basis is not the $1 carryover basis. His basis is the fair market value at my death.
right.
which was $100. So what's 100 minus 100, Lockwood?
Zero. So there is no tax
Zero.
To be. Yeah.
And that shows you the importance of step-up basis
wow.
and why this revenue ruling is critical, because think about that. You flip the script just a little bit, change the facts, and you said, okay, what if I left that in an irrevocable trust that applied to this revenue ruling, and I thought, oh, Lockwood's going to get step-up basis
mm-hmm. right.
in this asset. And lo and behold, there's a revenue ruling that says that's not going to happen. Guess what your basis is?
Right.
Carryover basis.
Yeah,
and you can end up with $99 worth of capital gains tax to pay, tax on that amount.
Right.
Versus zero in tax. So it's a very critical determination. So that gives you the interplay of the basis rules. Now let's talk about how this revenue ruling and what does it actually apply to. Let me tell you what it doesn't apply to first. Revocable trust. So, a very common estate planning tool is to transfer assets to a revocable living trust during your lifetime. If you live in California, if you live in New York, I guarantee you every estate planning attorney you go to is going to tell you, you need to create a revocable living trust and you need to put all of your assets in that revocable living trust to, quote unquote, avoid probate.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because those states are very, probate intensive states. Obviously, they're high population and the court system is backlogged and, we've got a problem. So that's why in those type of states, you're definitely doing revocable living trust. A lot of our clients in North Carolina don't have to necessarily do that. We can if we want to, but avoiding probate in Carteret County, North Carolina, or Onslow County or Craven County, those are very probate-friendly counties. It's not really that big of an issue to, quote-unquote, avoid probate. But some people like the idea and want to avoid probate and want that revocable living trust and want to put assets in that trust. So the good news is this does not apply. And the reason for it is very simple. You can revoke it. So therefore, if you put assets in there, whether by deed, conveyance, retitling assets, naming that trust as a beneficiary, whatever it might be, because, Lockwood, you have the power to revoke that trust, this revenue ruling will not impact that because mm-hmm. that is not a completed gift. Because guess what? Up until the moment that you're no longer with us, you have the ability to change right. that trust or do away with it entirely. So therefore, that's why this revenue ruling doesn't apply. What does it apply to? It applies to irrevocable trusts that are what I'll call you is just straight irrevocable trust. And so the idea is that I create a trust, and it's irrevocable in nature, and I want to make sure that my assets go to Lockwood.
Right.
So I say, Mr. Foster, Mr. Harbell, Mr. Collins, I want this set in stone, and I want this, this to be written in stone, for lack of a better word.
It's permanent. It's permanent.
We want to create an irrevocable trust and make sure that my wishes are carried out.
Right.
My response would be, well, we can actually do that through a revocable trust because at your death that trust becomes irrevocable. But nevertheless, if that's what you want, we'll do it. So we do the irrevocable trust, and you put your assets in there. The IRS is saying that is deemed to be a completed gift.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's deemed to be a completed gift, you now are bound by the carryover basis rule
right.
and not the step-up basis rules.
Okay, that makes sense.
So
yeah.
You've got to be careful when we create irrevocable trusts, and they're common, Lockwood, a lot of times in what we call in Medicaid planning settings. There are what's called Medicaid Asset Protection Trusts,
mm-hmm.
which you have to use an irrevocable trust in that regard. And those type of trusts would be on the chopping block relative to step-up basis because without some critical language that we'll get into here in a minute, those trusts would be deemed to be completed gifts, and this revenue ruling would apply. And okay. you're looking at carryover basis, which, again, is going to involve a hefty right. Capital gains tax upon the death of an individual.
Okay.
So, as far as our planning goes and what we do at Harbell and Collins, this is abnormal. We don't typically do, let's put everything into an irrevocable trust, to try to protect it from Medicaid planning purposes or for other type of purposes. But there are, you know, it is a common practice that you could do that. And the reason for it, Lockwood, is that when you're talking about Medicaid, you know, planning, you know, you have to get assets out of your name, obviously,
right.
Because those assets that are countable mean you're not going to be eligible for Medicaid, and there's a 5-year look-back period for Medicaid.
That's
so
right.
You do want, if you're trying to use this type of planning, to get those assets out of your name prior to 5 years before you need to go into a nursing facility. Ooh. And you do want those to be, quote-unquote, completed gifts, because if they're not, then guess what? Those are still potentially countable assets for you, and you wouldn't be eligible for Medicaid. So if you were to use this type of trust, you know, then it's one of the things you may get the benefit of the Medicaid planning side of it. But through this revenue ruling, you're going to lose the step-up basis side right. of it, which could prove really hefty tax bills for your heirs or beneficiaries. So very important. But I think the good news for the clients reaching out to us, Lockwood, is I'm able to tell them, yes, I've read the revenue ruling. Yes, I know what trust this applies to. May even know how to get around it. But it doesn't apply to your situation. And that's what I've been able to tell our clients who've reached out to me relative to this. But, again, very important to know that this does exist. And if you're out there and you said, oh, yeah, I remember seeing that headline. I remember seeing something about step-up basis. I remember seeing something about irrevocable trust and the fact that the tax man's coming. You know, it's true. He is. That he's coming for these type of trusts. And you know, the interesting thing about these trusts, Lockwood, is that you actually put all your assets to an irrevocable trust, but yet you pay the income tax on that. So it's really kind of an interesting situation, because they're what's called grantor trusts, which means that, you know, I set up an irrevocable trust for the benefit of me during my life, and then ultimately the Lockwood. I pay tax on that money under my Social Security number while I'm alive. But yet the IRS is saying, you know, we don't care whether you paid income tax on it while you're alive. At death, it doesn't matter. It was a completed gift while you were alive, because you couldn't change that trust document. And therefore, we're not going to allow the step-up basis rules to apply, and we're going to tax your beneficiaries hard. So again, very important, and just want to draw that distinction, because there's a lot of misinformation, you know, relative to this revenue ruling. And as I said at the beginning, the good news about it is it's a very narrow ruling. And doesn't apply to a great deal of situations, and certainly doesn't apply to hardly any plans that we put together here at Harvell & Collins.
We're talking with Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins, and Andrew, it is interesting. No matter what, Uncle Sam is going to get his half of the of the pie and more, if at all possible, as we just heard. Again, this is one of the benefits of working with Andrew and the crew there, the team of Harvell and Collins. And I want to remind you, a simple phone call, 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050, or go to their website, harvellandcollins.com. That's Harvell and, spell out the word and, harvellandcollins.com. Life and taxes. And today we're talking a lot about taxes. Andrew, as always, appreciate your time. As a matter of fact, the comment about trust, of course, segues nicely into the work that you do there, that all the staff does there, in estates planning and trust arrangements with Harvell and Collins. So, Andrew, very good point. Thanks very much for being with us, and have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Lockwood.
It's Harvell and Collins, and again, life and taxes.